Hi, I'm Zoe, and this is What a Body Can Do, explorations of the body in the social world.
What can bodies do?
We still don't know what bodies can do.
The question of the body.
The possibilities inside of us.
There's still so much we don't know.
Let's find out what a body can do. Okay, welcome to What a Body Can Do 2.0. Like I explained in the update, I'll be doing things a little bit differently from now on. Episodes will be short and often will probably be a series that will explore a certain topic for a few episodes. Always about somatics and all the wild things that a body can do. In this first series, we're gonna explore the concept of shape. Shape is a word that gets thrown around a lot in somatics, and it's a pretty foundational concept. So I wanted to start out by exploring it.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Zoe.
To get us started, I talked to my friend Adrian.
So I'm just going to send you a few pictures, and you could describe to me what you are inferring about these people by looking at the pictures.
Okay.
Okay.
So this person looks surprised, the raised shoulders tell me they're a little tense, and they're also cutting an apple while they're not looking at the apple or the knife, and that makes me feel like they're a bit chaotic.
Cool. Ready for the next one?
Okay. There's a man who is flying a flag with some rainbow colors on it, and he looks sort of friendly and quirky. And his cheeks are pulled in as if he's making a slight fish face, which gives him an air of being kind of a funny, a lighthearted person. There's another person behind this first person who looks much more sullen, arms crossed, sort of dropped face, dropped body, shoulders hunched, as if they're unhappy or even depressed about something that's going on in the situation.
Yeah, that person's posture is really striking, huh?
Yeah, it's really bent over. And then the person to the right of the sullen person, even though they're a smaller person, they're actually more upright. And that gives them a sense of pride.
Yeah, I see that too.
Somatics has really blown up in the last several years. The Body Keeps the Score, My Grandmother's Hands. There are lots of good books out there now. When I first discovered the term somatics, I was in massage school in 2011. The literature available then was pretty sparse. I travel a lot, and every time I was on the West Coast, especially California, where you can throw a rock and hit a somatics practitioner, I would excitedly seek out used bookstores and peruse the psychology and New Age sections for old somatic texts. That's how I originally found out about the Strozzi Institute, where I did my training. Richard Strozzi Heckler's 1993 book, The Anatomy of Change, would always peek out at me, beg my attention. But I didn't read it back then. I was much more interested in the dusty texts from the 1930s and 40s. There was something mysterious about the claims of these books, something that seemed big, something I needed to figure out. Especially the books by William Reich. His claims were the kind of claims that had drawn me to somatics in the first place. Back in massage school, I had felt the hand of my teacher meet my longing in a way that filled my heart and my back and my chest with a kind of sensation that I had never felt before, a sensation I didn't know was possible to feel. It freaked me out, actually, because it felt really big. It felt like the feeling had a history that I wasn't sure I was ready to know about, but now I was. I searched through the pages of Reich's books eagerly. He was a rambler, a guy with many brilliant thoughts that would stream out unedited for hundreds of pages at a time. He's a hard read, but I couldn't stop searching. Especially when I'd counter sentences like, Every muscular contraction contains the history and meaning of its origin. Sentences that read like promises. I constantly felt like an answer to what I felt that day in massage school was right around the corner if I kept looking. Reich was a contemporary of Freud. He lived and practiced in Austria in the 1920s and 30s as the Nazi regime was on the rise in Germany right next door. He was a communist and an unrelenting radical. Though Freud's bookshelf had many of Reich's books on it, Freud and Reich were at odds. Reich was convinced that Marxism was not only compatible but a necessary framework for psychoanalytic theory, a theory that was actively in the process of establishing itself. Reich believed that sexual freedom, particularly the dismantling of patriarchy, was essential to fight fascism. Freud was a little more interested in sexual repression and containment and that sort of more civilized approach to a social order, and Reich strongly disagreed. This obviously wasn't very well received by the establishment. Reich died in a U.S. prison after all of his books were burned by the FDA. It wasn't until the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s that his ideas, his books, started to reappear in the public consciousness. At one point, student protesters in Europe got a bunch of copies of his most famous work, The Mass Psychology of Fascism, and chucked them at the cops, which is probably my favorite Reich fact. It's worth noting that later in his life, his ideas started to get even more radical, some might say wacky. He built a machine that he claimed could blast orgasmic energy into the clouds and shift weather patterns, which unfortunately only ended up clouding his reputation and disappearing the brilliance of his earlier work. My other favorite William Reich fact is that the Kate Bush song Cloud Busting and the music video is about Reich and this machine. Before I continue centering William Reich, I need to pause to acknowledge a complication. His ideas were only out in the world because he was an educated white man. But his ideas did not solely come from his own brain. That's not how ideas work. His first wife was a Jewish psychoanalyst who did some fascinating work in the field around the psychological effect of patriarchy on women, and even experimented therapeutically with what we might today call kink as a route to sexual healing. One of Reich's earlier partners, Elsa Lindenberg, was a professional dancer, sometimes a nudist dancer, who danced for body autonomy and sexual freedom. So it's pretty clear that Wilhelm Reich's ideas about the body and about sexual freedom were influenced by the women in his life, women whom he did not credit and who he at times did not treat very well. I don't want to glorify Reich, but the impact of his work that had its own invisibilized lineage of powerful Jewish women, has shaped the field of somatics in a pretty big way. When my teacher's hand was on my chest in massage school, I began to feel a part of myself that had been cut off for decades. I could feel life coming back into my heart, and it was both scary and powerful. Some of the muscles of my torso, my chest, and diaphragm in particular, are much more open now than they once were before I started somatic work. Beneath all of his wild theories and experiments, Reich's lasting contribution to the field of somatics is that he could see these types of contractions in his clients. He wrote extensively about the way that particular emotions, experiences of oppression, patriarchy, moralism, fascism, etc., shape specific muscles of our bodies into specific, somewhat predictable contraction patterns.
Shoulders hunched, as if they're unhappy or even depressed about something that's going on in the situation.
In Strozzi somatics, where I studied, these are referred to as armoring bands. Working with hundreds of clients, he began to notice these patterns and develop techniques for helping clients release them. What are these patterns? How do they work? That's next time, as the series on Shape continues. I still dream of Organon. I wake up crying. You're making rain, and you're just in reach. All right, thanks for listening. As I mentioned in the update, there's going to be a monthly workshop that will explore the concepts that I talk about in this podcast. So we'll be doing a workshop in December on this concept of shape. The workshop will be December 14th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can register for it on my website, thirdspacesomatics.com. The workshop is also free for anyone who donates to this podcast. You can find a link to donate in the show notes. And I'm also soon going to be announcing some other ways to support the podcast and to get free access to the workshop and also access to some other resources and perks and things that I'm excited about. I've really been in the process of trying to figure out how to make this work that I love doing accessible to as many people as possible and also sustainable for myself financially. And so, yeah, so keep a lookout for information on more ways to support and get involved with this work. Until next time.